This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Let's turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. There will be a good deal of scripture throughout the message, so we'll just read two verses to begin with. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to this young pastor, Timothy. And the Holy Spirit and Paul say to this young pastor, "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You recognize, of course, the noun in that seventh verse that reminds us of the theme we've been studying for a couple of months now. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Several months ago, as we had our Sunday school graduation, and we're thinking in terms of Christian education and the transforming of the mind, we asked the question, who's minding the store? And we compared the human mind to a store that could be filled with all types of different products and groceries, and determinations have to be made as to what stays on the shelf and what we're going to hold in the storehouse of our mind. So we looked at a definition of mind, and then we went on to begin to study biblical methods for renewing the mind. Biblical methods for renewing the mind. In our last message, we were studying the 11th method for our cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the renewal of our minds. Let's remember that apart from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And He promised if He went away, He'd send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would guide us into all truth. So, let's understand, we're self-dependent and we're fleshy. If we think, if we imagine, we can renew our minds by ourselves. We cannot on our own renew our minds. But if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word, God can work in our lives to renew our minds. In the 11th method of cooperating with the Holy Spirit toward the renewal of our minds, we observed that Satan likes to take a sincere dislike for sin and turn that very aversion into an obsession or an addictive thought pattern. I know that's a long point, but one of our members gave me a list of questions. And some of the questions had to do with addictive thought patterns. And I promised, God being my helper, I would tackle this subject. I do not claim to be any kind of special counselor. I approach every counseling session in trembling and begging God for wisdom, knowing that if God doesn't give me insight and wisdom for a given counseling session, I'm up the creek. I can do nothing if the Lord does not give me special discernment and insight into the chemistry of the particular problem. So let's hear it again. Satan likes to take a sincere dislike for sin and turn that very aversion into an obsession or an addictive thought pattern. Let's spend a few more moments on this important truth and this important method, and then we'll, time permitting, look at additional methods for the renewal of the mind. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I used this very passage this week in the home of some people who have recently begun to attend this fellowship. They've not been here long, but they're trying to move out for God. And the more they try to move out for God, the more Satan attacks. And I used this very passage this week in exhortation and counseling in the home of these precious friends. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, there's a comparison with the Old Testament saints. Verse 39 of the previous chapter says that the Old Testament saints walked by faith, and they ran with patience their race. And the bridge is made to what we have as the 12th chapter. And the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the inspired writer, says, seeing that the Old Testament saints were faithful and walked by faith and endured by patience, let us do the same thing. Let us follow their example, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And now verse 12. Looking unto Jesus. The solution is two-part. And the first verse has the first part of the solution, and the second verse has the second part. And you'll not have spiritual victory. We sang about victory in Jesus as we opened our service. You'll not have spiritual victory in the renewal of your thought life or your mind unless you cling to both parts of God's solution. Let us lay aside, and then let us be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Scottish preacher, George Morrison, has some very wise and practical comments on these two verses. As we read Morrison's statements, let us suppose, for our purposes in this series on the mind and the thought life, for our purposes, let us at this point suppose that the weight the Holy Spirit is talking about here is the weight of an unhealthy or sinful thought pattern. So let's just read that into the context. It certainly is one possible implication of a weight. Let us lay aside every unhealthy or sinful thought pattern. Now, the passage tells us how to do it by God's grace. And let's listen to Morrison as he expounds on this passage and the twofold solution to laying aside that weight which could be an unhealthy or sinful thought pattern. Morrison writes, "Someone will say to me, 'It is not advice I want, But it's power to do the advice. It's not advice I want. It's power to do it. For I have tried a dozen times and failed. Have you tried many times to lay aside the weight of an unhealthy or sinful thought pattern only to find yourself in failure? Morrison replies to this imagined answer, I don't need any more advice. What I need is the power to perform because I've had the advice and I've tried and failed. Morrison said, well, I believe you. I too have had that experience of receiving the counsel, receiving the advice, and trying and failing. But he says, I've never experienced failure since I saw what this text means. Listen carefully. This could be the key to giving you freedom and joy and victory in your thought life, in your mind. He says, I've never experienced failure in laying aside a weight since I understood this passage. He said, here is the open secret of success in laying aside any spiritual weight. Depend upon it. Count on it. If you look at the weight only, you'll never have the heart to lay it down. If you look at the weight only, you'll never have the power to lay it down. It's a twofold solution. Laying aside and looking unto. Two verbal adjectives followed by two prepositions. Laying aside and looking unto. Say that with me. Laying aside and looking unto. Say it one more time. Laying aside and looking unto. If we don't do both parts of the solution, we'll not have victory. If you look at the weight only, you'll never have the heart to lay it down. It will never seem to you so fixed and firm as in the very hour you are determined to reject it. It will never seem to you so fixed and firm as in the hour you are determined to reject it. Have you ever been there? And once rejected, all that you had against it will be so overborne in wild desire that with greedy hands you will draw it back again to find it doubly sweet because you've renounced it. That is how Satan works in the mind. He plays dirty. Once rejected, we're talking about a weight in this case, a sinful thought pattern. Once rejected, all that you had against it will be so overborne in wild desire. That comes because of an obsession or a fixation. All that you had against it will be so overborne in wild desire that with greedy hands you will draw it back again to you to find it doubly sweet because you've renounced it and forbidden waters seem to be sweet. So there is the rock and the hard place. You know you're not supposed to have it or think that way. You renounce it, but because we're sinners, the very fact you renounced it makes it more attractive to you because it's forbidden water, and that intensifies the downward spiral of a fixation or an obsession in your thought life. That is the certain path towards darkness and tears, for every such failure leaves the conscience poorer with more guilt. I renounced it. I tried to lay aside, but in failing to do the second part of the solution, I find it comes back and it has a greater hold upon me and a greater attraction to me than ever before. So in just doing half a solution, I intensify my own bondage. I become a partner with the devil in strengthening the chains of the sinful thought pattern around my own mind. Continues George Morrison, the saddest hour is not when a man is beaten. The saddest hour, rather, is when he says, oh God, this is impossible. But there is no such hour, even for the weakest, if we'll only act as the text bids us and do both aspects of the solution. Lay aside and look unto. Morrison says, keep your gaze fixed on Jesus Christ the crucified. Direct every power of your heart towards Him. Believe in His nearness, His love, His mighty power, and remember that He carried the weight of the world's guilt triumphantly. The note said, Pastor, tell us how to handle the guilt of a long-term thought pattern that is not pleasing to God. Handle it by looking to what I called last week the sweet tree. Handle it by looking to the sweet tree, Calvary, where Jesus bore the penalty of your guilt for you. He took all your guilt in His own body on the tree. You don't have to bear it anymore if you just look away to the sweet tree and look away to Jesus. But if all you do is to keep trying in your own strength and by repression, all you keep doing is just to try by repression to stifle the bad thought pattern, you'll just intensify it. Look away to Christ. He bore all your guilt. That's why He died. Would you make His death of none effect? Then accept that He paid the price for the guilt of that wicked thought pattern. Accept that. If you refuse to accept the fact that He paid the price for the guilt of wicked thoughts, then you're detracting from the finished work of Christ. Don't just try to lay aside. Look unto. And when you look unto Jesus, you're looking to the great guilt bearer. And allow Him to do in your life and in your mind what He died to do. Don't withhold from Him the privilege of having paid the price for the forgiveness also of an evil thought pattern. Morrison concludes by saying, if one will just do the two parts of the solution, lay aside and look unto, the weight that seemed to be soldered will grow movable and you will be free tomorrow morning. If you lay aside and look unto the weight of the unhealthy thought pattern that seemed to be fixed and fast and soldered, will be very movable tomorrow morning. Morrison concludes, it's not the thing itself that is the weight. Far more often, it's the way we carry it. It's not the thing itself that is the weight. Far more often, it's the way we carry it. And your problem is, you're trying to carry it alone. You're trying to get alone and say, I will not think that thought pattern. I will not think it. I will not think it. The problem is how you're trying to carry it. The weight. Lay it aside, but you must move beyond that and look unto Jesus, and He will give you the power to carry on without being enslaved to a thought pattern. The power to lay aside an unwholesome, sinful thought pattern is to be found in looking away to Jesus. It's not to be found in obsessing over the details of the thought pattern. You say, you are redundant, preacher. You said many of these things last week. I know I did. And we have some individuals here this evening who are not able to be here last week. And I am impressed of God to repeat it. The power to have a new mind. A new thought pattern is not to be found in obsessing over the details of the wicked thought pattern. Now let me give you two biblical illustrations of what I'm trying to encourage you to do. And write down these two passages and keep them close by you. Turn first to Psalm 73. Turn to Psalm 73. This is the first of two biblical illustrations of the twofold solution. Laying aside and looking unto Jesus. Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, Asaph was being tempted and harassed by a very discouraging thought pattern. When I speak of unhealthy thought patterns, I'm not only speaking about thought patterns regarding immorality. I'm not just speaking about thought patterns with respect to immorality. Discouragement is an unhealthy thought pattern. And Asaph, here in Psalm 73, was being tempted and harassed by a very discouraging thought pattern. Listen as I read verses 2 through 5. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. He's in rough shape. He's at a point of desperation. He's in trouble. He's in trouble in his mind. He's discouraged. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? Because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. The wicked are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Now go down to verse 8. They are corrupt, and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. He is in mental trouble. He's in a mental rut. He's in a rut of discouragement and self-pity. Is he not? He thinks that all is lost. He's convinced that God is unjust and that they are only the wicked who are finally blessed and finally prospered. But now, let's hear the resolution of the matter as we contrast Psalm 73:16 with Psalm 73:17. Look at the contrast. We're starting at 16. When I thought, there's the thought pattern. When I thought to know this, that is, the apparent prosperity of the wicked, it was too painful for me until. And that's the word of contrast. And that's the word of change. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Note, please, that between the content of these two verses, verses 16 and 17, there occurs exactly, precisely, what I recommended in the last message. What I recommended as a very simple, practical thing that every one of us can do when we're tempted to an unwholesome thought pattern. What I recommended in the last message is exactly what happens between verses 16 and 17. And what takes place is an aid or a help to breaking an unwholesome thought pattern. You say, well, what happened, preacher? Don't you see it? It's right there. Don't you see it? What happens is a change of location. A change of scenery. A change of environment. The word until marks the change in the thought pattern. But the word until also marks A change in location, and a change in scenery, and a change in environment. The thought pattern changes when the location changes. The thought pattern changes when the scenery is deliberately changed by an act of free will. He got on his feet, off his self-pitying duff, and went into the sanctuary of God. He changed his location, he changed his scenery, and that changed his thought pattern. There's little point in you seeking out the help of a counselor and saying, well, I'm having a problem with impure thoughts, as long as you sit in front of pornographic videos. Change your location. It doesn't take a PhD to do that. Change your scenery. Burn the VCR. And burn the videos. Change your location. Change your scenery. And it will help you to change your thought patterns. You are not sincere if you say you want to have pure thinking and you hold on to pornographic videos or magazines. You're not sincere at all. You're playing a game. You're crooked. Change your location, change your scenery, change your environment if you would change your thought pattern. Asaph leaves his place of solitary introspection and self-pity, grabs himself by the scruff of the neck. I'm not quite sure what that is, but Mama used to talk about it all the time. He grabs himself by the scruff of the neck, he forces himself to change location and scenery and environment, and his thought pattern changes. Can you do that? I think you can. And only lazy Christians say they can't. You can if you care enough about renewing your thought patterns. Can you walk out of the room? I think you can. You have the power and the free will from God to get up out of a chair and walk out of the room? Yes, you do. You have the power to change the scenery provided by unwholesome friends? Yes, you do. Change your location. Change your scenery. It'll change your thinking and renew your mind. He literally takes himself into the sanctuary. He replaces by displacing. And he displaces all these thoughts of self-pity. All this unscriptural imagining that the wicked are finally going to win. He changes all that direction of thinking by going into church. Note how very different the thought of verses 21 to 26 are from the thoughts we read earlier in verses 2 to 9. Verses 2 to 9, it's all self-pity. It's all morbid. It's all spiritual pessimism. Notice the change of the thinking in verses 21 through 26. Thus, my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. I got convicted about my own self-pity. I got convicted about my own fixation and my own thought pattern that wicked people finally win. And so foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I was thinking foolishly. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Is that thinking rather different than thinking that the wicked win all the time? Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. While the wicked are burning in hell, when they get what they sowed, I'll be with you in heaven. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I don't desire to be with the wicked. There's none on earth that I desire beside thee. God, you're enough. You're all that I need. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's a drastic change in thinking. From thinking that the wicked and the evil are always going to win, to saying, I win. I win on earth, and I win in heaven forever and ever. What a change. He changed his thought pattern not by obsessing any longer. He obsessed long enough. He stopped his obsessing and his fixating on the details of the unhealthy thought pattern. He changed his scenery and changed his location and renewed his thought pattern as he did it. Feel sorry for yourself? Go see Wanda Savage. Feel sorry for yourself? Go see Gil Brace this past Wednesday or Thursday. Kept sedated because every time he came conscious, his blood pressure shot way up. Get out of your hole of self-pity. Go into the sanctuary or go into the highway or byway of service. Do something for someone else and change your thought pattern. We renew our mind by breaking even the thought pattern which fixates on our aversion to a particular sin and replacing it with a totally opposite thought pattern. Let's move on to the 12th biblical method for cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the renewing of our minds. Number 12, if you would renew your mind, slow down. And I'm going to laugh right now because I haven't been very quiet tonight. If you would renew your mind, slow down, quiet down, and throw excess baggage overboard. If you would renew your mind, slow down, quiet down, and throw excess baggage overboard. Excess baggage wearies and clutters the mind. Go to a flea market. Get rid of some stuff. That stuff is filling and wearying and wearing down and cluttering your mind. Get rid of excess baggage. Some husbands are poking their wives and saying, the preacher said it. I finally got some support. Clean out the closet. Now, in the case of our home, I am the hoarder. I've got greeting cards that some of you folks gave me 8 years ago. I keep everything. Almost. And it's one thing to keep the greeting cards of precious church members trying to encourage a preacher. It's another thing to keep every magazine article that's ever been published in 2,000 years because you know you might need it for a sermon some millennium if you happen to live for the next millennium. If you want to renew your mind, just throw excess baggage overboard. All the clutter is making your mind weary
and tired.
Excess baggage. Listen carefully. I know this by experience. And I'm not particularly joyful that God has asked me to share this with you. It's autobiographic. You're looking at one. Listen. I'll pull back the curtain to try to help you. And I'll just mess with my image to try to keep you from walking down the same path. A tired mind resists its own tiredness with resentment and bitterness. A tired mind resists its own tiredness with resentment and bitterness. Get rid of excess baggage. Say no to some things. Just keep hoarding it all, letting it all dump in. You purchase weariness for your own mind, and that weariness will lead to resentment and bitterness. Clutter makes the mind old. To renew the mind, I hope you see my play on words. Clutter, excess baggage, makes the mind old before its time. If you would renew the mind, get rid of the clutter and the excess baggage. Discipline yourself to give up some stuff. Excess baggage makes the mind brittle. Excess baggage steals the resilience from the mind, and every little thing becomes a mountain. You'd be better to sell something than to be brittle in your mind and prematurely old, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be better to live in a smaller house than to have your mind become prematurely old? Get rid of some material possessions so you have less to think about and less to weary your mind. If you have just one boat instead of two, your mind will be less weary. If you have two or three boats, you've got more to think about. Your mind gets old quicker. Renew your mind by throwing out excess baggage. Some of you here tonight are making your mind old by trying to hold on to too much stuff. Abandon the pressure of dreaming someone else's dreams. Abandon the pressure of dreaming someone else's dreams. Be what God wants you to be, not what God wants the pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world to be. Abandon the pressure and the stress of dreaming someone else's dreams. Be what God wants you to be. Many a young preacher boy has left the ministry within 3 years because of the untenable pressure of dreaming somebody else's dreams. And they're all over this nation, discouraged with old, brittle minds because they thought they had to dream somebody else's dream, and it put untenable pressure and stress, and they finally just shucked the whole thing. God never intended your mind to get old and weary through the stress and pressure of dreaming somebody else's dream. If you borrow or steal someone else's calling, you're going to make your mind old. Because God will not give you the strength or resilience to fulfill someone else's calling. Now, when a man is called to pastor the largest Sunday school in the world, wonderful, more power to him, but only one can pastor the world's largest Sunday school. And everybody else wearies his mind by trying. You don't have to sing as well, quote unquote, as you think she sings. Whether you're a sparrow or a lark, sing for the glory of Jesus. And don't dream somebody else's dream and allow a whole lot of stress and pressure to be placed upon you by the enemy of your soul who doesn't want you to be free and at peace in the arena of your own heart. Stress, pressure caused by a borrowed dream breeds bad thoughts. Let me illustrate. If I dream the dreams of the man who's called the pastor of the world's largest Sunday school, if I dream those dreams, they're not God's dreams for me. It's not long before I begin to think, I wonder if they're really honest about their statistics. I wonder how many times they count. I'm telling you that dreaming somebody else's dreams produces a stress and pressure, and stress always leads to thinking bad thoughts. Get out from underneath it. I'm going to close. And I have given you my heart tonight. As my conclusion to this 12th biblical method, slow down, quiet down, and throw excess baggage overboard. As my conclusion to that, I say, find yourself a Garden of Gethsemane. Find yourself a Garden of Gethsemane. Or a brook Cherith, like Jesus and the prophet Elijah did. Jesus found his Gethsemane, and Elijah found his brook Cherith. You read that in John 8:1 and 1 Kings 17:3. Find yourself a garden. Find yourself a brook. Slow down. Quiet down. Get rid of excess baggage and refuse to be manipulated by the tyranny of the falsely urgent. You know that's not original with me. I did add the adjective falsely. Refuse to be manipulated by the tyranny of the falsely urgent. A program renewal time into your schedule. Program renewal time in your schedule. How many churches have been devastated by an under-shepherd who was living under false guilt because he was dreaming somebody else's dreams and got so tired he lost his temper and read the riot act and took out his own self-made frustrations on the sheep? How many flocks have been devastated when the mind of the under-shepherd became old and tired and weary and brittle, and the sheep bore the brunt of unnecessary pressure and stress? In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Slow down. Quiet down. Get rid of excess baggage. Dream God's dream for you. And let the Holy Spirit use those decisions to renew your mind. Isn't that just like the Lord? So
very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.